The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You know what that means? It's a doggy dog world. It's your world for this moment, but not once First Take starts, because you know once the clock rings, this man's in a world of trouble. But I must admit,
hey, got
new
it.
Blazer, new tie,
yes, sir.
Slick back hair,
yes,
trying to be Raleigh, Pat Raleigh, yes sir.
Be happy,
yes
go.
Sir. Let's go.
The fat guy in rapping, yes sir.
I like the purple. Too.
Thank you. Doggy got a haircut.
You're getting up there. You're getting
looking
up
there. Dapper, dog.
We're going to talk about your hair during a minute, Mom. We're going to talk about your hair during
mine?
First take.
You're talking about my hair.
Let's go.
Yeah, what's wrong with my hair? Oh, here we go. Aaron Rodgers. He's got some good hair. Always changing up the styles. Hasn't made a decision about whether he'll play in 2023, though, or what team that would potentially be with. But at the end of the day, he understands it's not personal. It's all business. Because of that, he said Tuesday on the Pat McAfee Show, he knows his current contract probably isn't viable for the Green Bay Packers or any other team, is open to reworking his deal. Aaron's at the mic with more on his future plans.
All the other, ideas about, trade and whatnot, that's all conjecture until I even decide what I want to do moving forward for myself. If they felt like it was in the best interest of the team to move forward, so be it, That wouldn't offend me. That wouldn't make me feel like a victim. I wouldn't have any animosity towards the team. I have a lot of love for what's going on in Green Bay. And I'd love to finish there. I would. And I might have finished there. Who knows? But what's the old adage, that people want to say, oh, the grass isn't always greener, on the other side. And I always say, the grass is green where you water it. And I think that's the most important thing to remember. Change is a part of this business. It's a part of life. And I think being open to it and embracing whatever that change looks like is an important part of coming to peace with whatever decision lies ahead of you.
Meanwhile, Peter King had some interesting comments regarding Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay, saying, as for the compensation due Green Bay, my guess is the Pack would want at least two first-round picks. The Woody Johnson Jets, a desperate first-star quarterback almost since the Broadway Joe days, would happily pay the freight, I'd guess. But would Rodgers accept a deal to the J-E-T-S, Jets? Hi, Doggy.
Hello there.
I didn't get to say hi to you.
Great to see
to
you there,
Hi, Stephen.
Hey.
Good morning. I want to start with you. Do you think Rodgers would be better off in Green Bay or with the New York Jets?
I think he should stay put, Molly. I really do. First off, quarterback wasteland with the Jets. They brought Neil O'Donnell in. That was a disaster. They brought Brett Favre from Green Bay. That didn't work out. The Jets seem to be, there's a dark cloud over the franchise. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And boy, oh boy, is he a diva. 20 minutes with these unbelievable answers about the Packers and where he stands in life. Nobody cares. Make a decision. Come on.
Can I say one?
Right or wrong?
Doug.
Hey, come on.
Doug, can I say one thing? And
yes.
People want to hear from you, obviously. When I heard that, though, if I'm deducing from what he said trying to read the tea leaves, I feel like he wants to stay in Green Bay.
I got that sense, too, after he took 30 minutes to tell us. With the shirt on and McAfee with the that's enough. Anyway, I think he's better off in Green Bay. First off, the team is not that far away. Secondly, it's Titletown, USA. It's Lambeau Field. It's Lombardi. He's won there already. It's great to wear that one. Don't you want to be, when you're that great, don't you want to be associated with the one team your whole career? I understand Brady, a little different with him. He was a free agent. But if you're Rodgers, don't you want to start your career in Green Bay and end your career in Green Bay? The Green Bay Packers, the number one team in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to stay there? And listen, it's not like the Packers are 3-15 or whatever they were this past year, 3-14. They were 8-9. They weren't 3-14. You receivers are young. Mm-hmm. They could have made the playoffs. They got a pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. They get a little better. The Jets are a wasteland. It never works. Stay in Lambeau Field. Stay in Lombardi Avenue. Stay in
First
Green
of
Bay.
All, you're wrong. Number one. Number two. We're going to get over this right now. You had your Mad Dog segment last week where you talk about, Dr. he's Lombardi's grandson.
I did that.
Folks don't care. Now, I know you still care about Vince Lombardi. And I know that there's a demographic out there, 55 and over, who cares about Vince Lombardi. But most other people do not. We appreciate the greatness that was Vince Lombardi in the 50s and the 60s. We understand what he means in NFL lore. We get all of that. But just because he was great doesn't mean his grandson was great and deserved to keep his job into perpetuity like you were projecting last week, okay? And now we fast forward here. That damn sure doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers is supposed to stay at Lambeau Field, okay, playing for the Packers because it's the house Lombardi built. I'm sorry. You understand? Just like I told the city of Memphis that Elvis is dead. Okay, this is Ja Morant's era. I'm telling you that Lombardi is dead.
That's very, okay? It's very jarring for me. But
listen,
I'm just letting you know.
I'm just saying.
It's a little aggressive.
Listen, here's the deal. God bless their souls. And if I'm one of those people, as I know you are, we believe that there is a better place than Earth. He's in the heavens, shining down upon us. We know they're in better places. Fine.
Your delivery is so harsh, though.
Focus on that. I mean, we just have to accept it. All right? Stop holding on. Now let's get to Aaron Rodgers specifically. I like the thought of him in a New York Jets uniform. You know why? Because I like what Douglas and Salah have put around the quarterback spot. Breece Hall coming back. 7 games he played last year. He had averaged 5.8 yards a carry. We know this brother's a stud. And if he were healthy, it might have been a different outcome. The Jets might still be in the playoffs right now. Okay? They might have made it to the playoffs. That's number one. Number two, Garrett Wilson is no scrub. Just like we look at Christian Watson and Green Bay and we like what we're seeing from him, we've liked what we've seen from Garrett Wilson. And so when I'm looking at it from that perspective, along with Corey Davis and Conklin and others and what they bring to the table and a defense that is real and big time, I think that, along with a New York market, and you'll like this part, Dougie, you'll like this part, a New York market that would hold Aaron Rodgers accountable far more than Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's a different animal. Because when you're in that kind of pub, when you're in that kind of spotlight, when you have the New York contingent breathing down upon you, and it ain't 2 beat writers, but it's 20. And it ain't a couple of TV cameras, but it's about 30. When it ain't just, the, you know, ESPN First Take when we bring you up and some radio pundits in Wisconsin, but it's a national audience because it's the media capital of the world. You understand? When you got that going on, you don't get to be a bit laissez-faire. You don't get to tell people relax. You don't get to walk the streets of New York City when you're supposed to have expectations placed upon you that you don't live up to. You can get away with that in some other places. You can't get away with that in New York. It's a little bit different. Remember, New York, if you ain't that good, they didn't have those expectations. But when they have those expectations, they expect you to live up to it, and your attitude can't be a reason why it's diminished or it dissipates. All of those things come into play. The New York Jets are a better situation. By the way, they got 6 picks in this upcoming NFL draft.
Yeah.
Like Peter King pointed out, you give up a couple of first-round picks. Give up a couple of second-round picks. You get Aaron freaking Rodgers. Because I don't care how disgusted I have been with some of the things he has said in recent memory. I say it many times. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. He's a bad man. Make no mistake about it. Aaron Rodgers in New York City is calling. Is calling. He needs to be here.
I don't know about the accountability part, though. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is already a made man.
Yeah, he doesn't
like,
have to be in
New York. Like, he's not worried about all that.
No,
I mean,
cameras,
it's like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
New York is a different kind of bubble. Trust me. I'm the native one here.
Okay, I've lived in New York City as well and
living
worked here every day.
It's entirely different than being born and raised
here.
Here's
this guy.
Let me tell you something.
Listen, I already know your whole life story. I have one chapter left in the book.
Well, you know, it's the best. It's going to be a best. Not as a bestseller, but we'll get with that later. Give me that later.
Wait, why did you have to bring up the dope?
Did you read the book?
Why gotta be dope?
Oh, you know,
my God. Show me some love.
Can I be completely honest?
Oh, Lord.
No, really quick. So I started reading it on the plane, and I love to actually read a physical book and have the hard copy, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'm busy now, so I switched to the Audible. I think the Audible with you, because your voice and everything, is an even better experience.
You know what? in all seriousness, the audiobook is doing fantastic.
No, I'm serious.
Seriously, I didn't know.
I
had no idea until yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm listening to the Audible.
I didn't know.
I got the earpods in. Cleaning the house. But let me get back to
Aaron Rodgers. I didn't know. But I'm telling you, that New York market, just think about the things we complained about. It would be a little bit different if it's here.
Doug, what do you think about what he just said?
Well, I understand his point, big city, but if you're Aaron Rodgers, you want to deal with the 50,000 cameras?
Yes.
You want to deal with the talk show?
No, I'm saying we should want him to. Well, we should want him to.
Well, that's different for us, but the question was, what should Aaron Rodgers do?
Yeah, okay.
For Stephen A. Smith and Chris Russo.
And the fans.
And ESPN Radio.
And the fans. That's
Mad Dog.
That's right. That's right.
What? I'll ask you this real quick.
That's right. It's more than
him.
It's more than cheese here. It's more than cheese.
Hold up. What's better for his legacy? To retire and maybe make it to an NFC Championship game one more time as a Packer, or to potentially go to the Jets
and do
switch teams if he won a ring?
Well, I don't know. That's a huge step.
That's a great question. So he's going to come to New York and he's going to win a ring. It is what it is with the Green Bay Packers. They can keep getting to like NFC. They can get to NFC Championship games maybe a couple more times, right? Or, he wins a ring with the Jets. I'm talking legacy, like Kobe Bryant, Laker forever, that kind of thing.
I'll buy that.
You're the historian.
But hold on, they've only won one. They've won one Super Bowl.
Answer the question.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Answer the question. What's better for?
If you're gonna give me a choice, NFC Championship, Green Bay, or a Super Bowl with the Jets? Super Bowl with the Jets. But that's Molly.
What?
You took a huge leap.
Can I respond?
That's a ridiculous leap.
Can I respond to that?
Would you listen to him?
What do you mean, listen to me? What do you mean? What do you mean? Listen to you? Listen to you?
It's not fair.
You better come up with a better
way.
You
better.
I'm better.
Time out. We're not being honest with the audience.
What?
He's a Packers fan.
I know this.
He tries
I've
to hide
this.
It and pretend to be
why do you think I brought up Lombardi? Only he cares about this stuff right now. The fact of the matter is this. Let me say it plain. If Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets, they could win it all. They could win it all. If Aaron Rodgers, with that defense, if he went to the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers in the AFC, against Holmes, against Mahomes, against Burrow, against Josh Allen, against Tua Tagovailoa, I'm telling you right now, Jets got a chance now. I ain't saying that I'd pick them. They got a chance. They're in the mix. Listen, we've watched the Jets. We've watched the Jets, and we've lamented all year long one thing and one thing only, their quarterback. We didn't say another negative word about the New York Jets all year long other than their quarterback. Think about that. We didn't complain about anything else. We didn't complain about their offensive line. We didn't even complain about their receivers. We didn't complain about their running game. We damn sure didn't complain about their defense.
You don't buy the idea that there's always a black cloud around the franchise, which there has been since 1969?
No. I don't believe in those spells.
Well, I do. Tell me.
Did Bill Parcells not take them to an AFC championship game? Did Rex Ryan not take them to an AFC championship game? Okay. Excuse me. Who was quarterbacking then? Who is quarterback?
Well, Sanchez the second time.
Vinny the first time,
but here's the thing.
Vinny Testaverde.
They lost the first championship.
Hurt my boy Keyshawn's hearty banging on a podium. Well, you know what I'm saying? Because he was so disgusted with
they blocked the
party. What are you going to do if he goes to the Jets? Are you going to stay a Packers fan or are you going to become a Jets fan now?
No, I root against
Where's
the heart.
Where's your loyalty?
I root against the heart.
Will.
Wow, that would be it.
Wow, Lombardi over Aaron.
If I'm still here, he'll be what I'm mad about. I'll look at those statistics. And you, if I find an incomplete pass.
Wow.
When they're up 50 to nothing, I will kill them.
You're better than that.
I will
You're
get on them.
That, very
that would be out of line.
Oh, you
all
need
right.
to
And all
stop
of a sudden now, he's a Steeler fan.
I am.
He wants him with the Jets and the AFC.
I'm just saying.
Don't be a phony.
It's not being a phony.
Yes, it is. You don't want him with the Jets.
It's not stopping me from rooting for the Steelers. I'm just saying that right now, at this stage of point in his career, I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers in the big city with the bright lights.
Yeah.
I'd love it. It wouldn't bother me at all.
I could see him in New York City.
It wouldn't bother me at all. Bright light, big city.
He could take
Broadway.
Jeffrey.
Broadway Rodgers.
Lambeau Field.
Oh, come on, man. I love it.
Can we stay in the NFC?
Are actually playing conference
championship games. That's where we're going to go right now.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of the Giants, I got a Super Bowl champion with the Giants.
In the building.
Chris, what's happening, boy? How we feeling? How we living?
I'm all right. A little disappointed on how everything went down on Saturday in Philly.
Rough.
But we got a little about
that.
A little.
We knew that was coming.
A little. Come on, Chris. That was embarrassing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that hurt. Horrible. That hurt.
Yeah, you know it was coming, though. It was no surprise.
No, I wasn't a surprise. I took the Eagles and laid the points.
Exactly.
You did?
Even though I'm a Giant.
She did. Yeah. She did.
But you know, can I be honest? I shut it off at halftime.
Of course you did.
I was sick. I was like, there's no coming
back. Well, so did the Giants defense.
Did she tell you not alone? Did she tell you? Did she tell you? That I text her. I was just trying to be kind. I was just trying to be kind. I kindness my heart because I was concerned. But it's my right hand here. It was my left hand, actually. But I was trying to be kind. Mm. And I said, are you okay? She said, don't talk to me. She said, don't talk to me. And refused. You refused to answer any text or anything like that.
I didn't want to talk to you.
People grieve in different ways.
Yeah, no,
right.
We do.
Lost the
I do. I shut down.
I was kind of.
I was more
very
like
upset.
What men usually do. That's what I do.
Okay.
All right, let's go to it.
Here it is.
What I do.
That's true. That is true.
We
do shut down from time to time.
Okay.
He has a good point.
Sorry, I don't mean to generalize all men. I apologize. It's stereotypical.
That was general, but you was asking.
That was wrong. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you agree that the Eagles are much better than the Niners?
Yeah, no lies detected from Spears. I mean, he's not wrong. And without going on this long diatribe, I can make it real simple for you.
Okay.
The difference in the quarterbacks. You're talking about an all-pro player in Jalen Hurts going up against a rookie in Brock Purdy.
Okay.
That, to me, is going to be the difference in this game because that's what it ultimately always comes down to in the playoffs. Where do you get the better quarterback play from? Even in San Francisco last week, that was the difference in the game. I'm sure the Dallas Cowboys didn't anticipate that. But Dak Prescott made all the mistakes, and Brock Purdy made none of them. That is why the Eagles are a better team than the 49ers. When you look at the two rosters, I mean, the Eagles and the 49ers, they're right there. They're 3-4 in offensive efficiency. They're 1-2 in defensive efficiency. Both teams had 6 all-pro players. The Eagles did have 8 Pro Bowl players to the 49ers' 6. But ultimately, what this is going to come down to is Jalen Hurts being the difference in this game. And Jalen Hurts' performance throughout this season – is nearly unprecedented, Stephen.
You know. See, this is the type of stuff that bothers me. You understand what I'm saying, doggy? Because I see this man and look at this man, Super Bowl champion. I watch him growing on radio. He's so brilliant, smart, knows his football. You
Can't
know,
Carl
I mean, I mean, damn it, he's not here by accident. That we needed him on TV more. Okay. I wanted him. And then he starts off saying something like this. Look, I disagree with you, Chris Anthony. No. And here's the reason I'm saying this to you. First of all, it's a general question. Are the Eagles better than the 49ers? So we have to look at things collectively. Defense, we understand. That's just a pick. Both teams up
very
time
good,
on the defensive side of the ball. There's no question about that. Let's go down the offense. Let's go down the offenses, okay?
All right.
When you look at San Francisco's offense, I'm thinking about Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuels. Ayuk ain't no joke either. And George Kittle has reemerged as one of the elite tight ends.
Okay.
So, yes, it does come down to the quarterback. And we understand that Jalen Hurts is better than Purdy. But why are we going to ignore Kyle Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan's ability to insulate and protect that quarterback? And the fact that you got a guy in Purdy that ain't turning the ball over. You understand what I'm saying? The fact of the matter is, when we think about Purdy didn't have a great game last week. We understand that, right? But Dak Prescott turned the football over. But prior, if it were not for those turnovers, you got like a 9-9 score, whatever the case may be. I can see something like this being similar to that. What I'm trying to say is that I don't expect Jalen Hurts to make mistakes, but I do expect him to be somewhat neutralized by that potent defense that is the San Francisco 49ers, just like I expect Purdy to be neutralized by the Philadelphia Eagles
defense.
Boy,
Stephen, you so funny. I came to work just for that laugh you just gave me.
So you're trying to tell me it ain't possible that the San Francisco defense can neutralize Hurts to some degree?
It's going to be hard, Stephen A.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
It's elite defense.
No. I'm going to tell you why it's going to be hard. There are no good answers for an offense that's playing 11-on-11 in a run game.
Okay.
No good answers. When you have a quarterback that's willing to be the focal point of the run game, the math don't add up for the defense. And that's what we've seen routinely for the Philadelphia Eagles going up against opponents. Do you want to go back to Week 12 when they ran roughshod over the Green Bay Packers defense and they ran for 363 yards? Stephen A., that's the highest single-game rushing total of any team the last 2 years of football.
Okay.
Look at what they did to the New York Giants last week. They ran for 268 yards.
Dog, help him out.
All I'm simply saying is this.
I'm not struggling.
When you have a quarterback as dynamic as Jalen Hurts, a quarterback whose skill set the San Francisco 49ers defense has not seen the likes of all season, it is going to be a task to slow them down. The best chance you have is to try to make them one-dimensional and force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. The only problem with that is he can do that.
But the point is, but the point is for me, if I'm San Francisco, that's how you're going to have to beat me. I'm going to want Jalen Hurts to drop back. I want containment. I don't want him scrambling outside of the pocket and beat me with his legs. I want him to fling that football. And guess what? If I'm the San Francisco defense with the speed and the athletes that they have, I'm going to take my chances. Go ahead and throw that football. We're going to find out. Now, listen, I believe in Jalen Hurts. I'm not trying to imply that you're wrong about that. What I'm saying is that San Francisco's defense is no joke. And when I think about them saying, go ahead and throw the football against me, let's get it on, let's see what you got, I want to take my chances. Because I know I can't win if I'm allowing them to run roughshod over me.
Yeah.
If I'm allowing Philly to run the football, I'm going to lose the game. If I'm allowing Jalen to hurt us because he's running with the football, that's hurting me.
Okay.
My best chance is to let him drop back and pass.
All right, you're playing ball control right now.
I hate to agree with America's favorite author, but for once I do.
Wow. Not you too, dog.
He needs help right now.
You're wrong. Well, first off, let's take it easy last week with the Eagles. The Giants didn't belong. Okay? That team stunk. That was a horrendous joke performance. Jacksonville belonged in the playoffs more than they did. That was a disgrace. Let's also keep in mind this. What the Eagles beat in the regular season this year that you can sit there and say, look at the Eagles. They played the AFC South, Houston, the Colts.
They beat up on the Vikings.
The Vikings stink. They beat the Packers, who didn't make the playoffs. And you went nuts about the Packer defense. They were 8-9. I saw Goff go up and down the field in the second half of that game, last game of the year. And let's face it, Bosa, McCaffrey, Samuel, Ayuk, Kittles, Trent Williams. You can appreciate him.
Yeah.
Trent Williams, Fred Warner. That is a big-time team. And here's the last thing. The Eagles, where'd they go? 15-2, whatever their record was, 14-3.
15-1 with Jalen Hurts as the starter.
Even better. I'm glad you said it. 15-1 with Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
They're at home against a rookie quarterback. What's the line?
Yeah. It's under three.
It's not seven.
It's under three.
It's not eight. It's 2.5. What are they telling you? The game's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
So as a result, because of that. Now, listen, I'm with you. You got to give the Eagles a little advantage. I'm with you. But America's author over there has got a good point. They got a lot of people on defense. He's a great coach. He's a great coach. He's got to win a Super Bowl to be an immortal.
Sure.
But he's a great. You agree?
He's a great coach. Kyle Shanahan is a great coach.
He's a great coach. Yeah. And he's a great play caller, and he's going to protect the quarterback.
Excluding the second half of Super Bowls. You're absolutely right.
Let's stay there, dog, because you said he had to protect the quarterback. That's going to be a key in this game.
Yes.
Can you protect the quarterback?
Well, he's got to roll him out. He's got to do all those things, correct? They did against
Dallas. You want to roll him out against that defense?
Well, they did against the Dallas front four, and he made some plays.
Okay, but the Eagles defense ain't the Dallas defense. The Eagles defense had 70 sacks this year. 70. They were three off of setting a record in the National Football League. They are the first defense that had the starting front four all have double-digit sacks. So when you start talking about keeping the quarterback upright, I have a lot more confidence in the Eagles' offensive line that has three all-pro players doing that than I do the
Wait a minute. See, now you're being slick.
No, I'm not being slick.
Let me tell you why you're being slick.
What's up?
Because you said it's about the quarterback.
Now
you're bringing up everything else.
No, I'm bringing up the offensive line.
What I'm saying to you is this. The San Francisco 49ers got an elite defense their damn self. And they can cause some problems. I get your point in terms of what you're saying. It's going to come down to Hurts versus Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you got to contain. You got to have pocket containment with Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Keep him there and let him beat you throwing the football. Dare him to do that. And I think he can do it. And I think he will do it. I think he will do it. But the point is, that's your best chance of beating. But the reality of the situation is that, let's call it what it is. That's really your best chance, if not your only chance, because they're so evenly matched that it's going to come down to what Hurts can do and what Purdy can do. All this other stuff that you're bringing up, I think it's going to even itself out.
Well, Stephen A., it ain't fantasy football, right? You got to factor in what happens in the trenches.
Okay.
It is no coincidence that the teams that are here right now are teams that are strongest when it comes to the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Right.
And what I'm saying is the Eagles on the offensive line are much stronger than the 49ers on the offensive line. I respect Trent Williams. Respect the hell out of him. Played against him. He's a dog. But that's only one dog.
That's right.
The Philadelphia Eagles got dogs up and down that offensive line. So when it comes to holding up in pass protection.
Well, I saw San Francisco's defense be number one across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, ain't an accident now.
No, I'm not saying.
It wasn't the Eagles that was number one.
But it was
San Francisco.
Well, what I'm saying is they haven't played anything like what they're going to see on Sunday against
and
the Philadelphia Eagles.
And if
the quarterback is going to win the game, then the quarterback has to be upright. I have more confidence that Philly can keep Jalen Hurts clean than the San Francisco 49ers can keep Brock.
Let me ask this question. If Purdy plays well, can the Niners win the game?
Yes.
Purdy plays well.
Yes. Stop it, Chris.
Question ain't if Purdy plays well. Can Purdy outplay Jalen Hurts?
Well, no. I don't expect that.
Well, it ain't going to happen. You know why you don't expect it? Because it ain't going to happen.
Well, Hurts runs.
I
can't expect that.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of people think the Niners will lose because they expect the quarterback to wake up at midnight and have a bad game.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if the quarterback plays a good football game, is this a dead even game? I think it is. And that's why the talent level that don't buy.
But that's the thing, though. I think in these games, the quarterback has to be the difference. And I anticipate that Jalen Hurts will make the difference.
Okay. But the question was, are they much better than the 49ers? And I say no.
And I agree with you.
I say no. I say it's closer than y'all giving it credit.
I hate to say it. He's right for the bench.
Let's leave it there. The Giants, look at me, dog.
Yeah.
Giants didn't belong. That one stunk.
And they didn't.
And that's where we're going now. That's where we're going. Saquon Barkley has said that he doesn't necessarily want to set the market, but that he wants near Christian McCaffrey, $16 million per average. That according to ESPN. So McCaffrey signed a four-year, $64 million deal while he was still a member of the Carolina Panthers. His average salary is slightly north of $16 million. McCaffrey's base alone of $11.8 million is the highest in the NFL. Dog, do you think the Giants should give Saquon McCaffrey money?
Absolutely not. I cannot give a running back coming off an ACL a couple years ago, who's been 4 years, I can't give him that kind of money. I can't do it. And it's unfortunate because the running back, you know, as Bill Belichick says, there's a bunch of car wrecks that he has to deal with on a week-to-week basis, and these running backs wear out. So $16 million, whatever that guarantee might be, it's a cap issue more so than it is, you know, trying to take care of the player. They got to keep the team together. They have to pay Jones. They don't have to pay Barkley. I would say no to paying him $16
million. Yeah, they tried to negotiate with Saquon during the bye week, and the Giants were rumored to want to be in that $12 to $12.5 million a year on a four-year deal, and Saquon Barkley wanted around $14 million. There's a big gap there, and I struggle with paying Saquon that type of money, what he's asking for, because there's so many other priorities that the Giants have to take care of before you even get to Saquon. You got to take care of Daniel Jones, but you also got to take care of All-Pro Andrew Thomas, your left tackle. You also have to take care of defensive tackle All-Pro Dexter Lawrence. And think about it from this standpoint. The positions of importance when it comes to winning in the National Football League, the quarterback, the pass rusher, and the offensive line.
Left tackle.
Those are the guys that you got to take care of.
Yep.
And that's what the Giants and Joe Shane should be focused on this offseason. I can't afford to pay a running back that's had the injury history that Saquon Barkley has had top of the market money. It just ain't going to happen. He can haggle about saying it's not Christian McCaffrey or Zeke Elliott, but $14 million is more than Nick Chubb is getting paid. And he ain't a better running back than Nick Chubb. I'm sorry to say it. Nick Chubb was an All-Pro this year. So when it comes to the decisions that have to be made, this is a tough one because of what he represents for the organization on and off the field. But Stephen A., you got to be willing to let him walk into free agency. You can't throw the boat at Saquon Barkley.
I think both of you need to be drug tested. Something wrong with y'all. You talking about Saquon Barkley?
Yeah.
Mr. 1,312 yards rushing, Saquon Barkley?
Yep.
Mr. 295 attempts, 76 receptions, Saquon Barkley?
Yeah.
When you put him out there, you got nothing else. You gave it, you had, you threw out an offense, Saquon Barkley, in a bag of chips. That's what you blew it throughout there this season. And you got to the playoffs. And you telling me that this dude goes out there and performs the way that he does, and he's the one that has to be deprived of somebody? Y'all done lost y'all damn minds. Let me tell you something right now. I do understand. Listen, let me be very clear about this.
Okay.
I get the hesitancy, all right, because of the injury,
mm-hmm.
because he plays the running back position, all right? I would say this to you. He played 13 games last year, and he played all 16 games this year.
Yeah.
ACL injury was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's keep that in mind. All right, that's number one. Number two, he balled out. He didn't show any ill effects from that ACL injury. That could happen to anybody in football.
Yes.
Number three, you brought up Daniel Jones first. I ain't sold no damn Daniel Jones. I mean, it was nice. He had some moments. But I'm not sold on no Daniel Jones. Not more than – now, I do understand that the quarterback position is far more important than the running back position. But I ain't sold on him. And then I also, you talk about free agency and all this stuff. Are we sure who they can get? Are we sure that they're going to have anybody if you lose the Saquon Barkley? Because as much as the Giants were outmanned and what have you, the mm-hmm. fact of the matter is, for the most part, they played well this year. Let's give credit where credit is due, their defense, the personnel that they had in place. We understand they could upgrade it. But nevertheless, the point is, what really, really was their detriment is that their offense couldn't do anything.
Okay, I just had to say one thing. Did you really just call the Giants offense, because the blows are hurting right now, Saquon Barkley in a bag of chips?
And a bag of chips. Disrespectful.
And a bag of chips.
So disrespectful.
Wow. Listen, Stephen, I said it.
Stephen,
ain't nobody saying that the Giants offense didn't run through Saquon Barkley this year. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, is the value there to pay him what he wants?
Got
and I would argue no.
Okay,
Think about it from this standpoint, Stephen.
Oh,
A.
man.
When does it work out when teams pay running backs these types of contracts?
Listen.
Okay, when does it work out?
You know what?
Christian McCaffrey?
Here's what I'm saying to you.
That ain't the team that paid him.
I know.
But let me explain.
Inherited.
Let me explain. I'm very, very guarded. I compartmentalize, and maybe I'm wrong for doing this. I compartmentalize the number from the amount of years. Mm. I'm very hesitant on the amount of years.
Mm.
But when you tell me a 14 per number, I'm not thinking, oh, it's 14 over 4 years, 14 over 5 years. I'm saying, damn it, when he go out on the field next year, is he worth $14 million based on what we saw him produce this year? Yes! That's how I'm thinking. So I do understand what you're saying. Steve, you can't give him 3, 4, 5 years because obviously longevity comes into play, plays the running back position. I got you. You got me there. I'm just telling you, when he on the field, the brother worth $14 million. I don't want to hear that he's worth $14 million.
Stephen,
and I don't want to hear that the hesitancy because of Daniel Jones. Oh, hell to the no. No way. No way. Please. I don't want to hear it. Daniel Jones is lucky. Listen, he's lucky that he's got a coach like Brian Daboll, who, by the way, is probably my coach of the year. What's the problem?
I just have the visual of the bag of chips now in Saquon.
If Daniel Jones was a free agent, there'd be 20, and he's not great. But there'd be 20 teams lined up to get him.
And how many teams would want Saquon Barkley?
Not for the $20 million a year.
Not 20.
You can't catch now. I said 14, not
Carolina
20.
Would want Daniel Jones. The Saints would want Daniel Jones.
Are you sure?
Carolina would want Daniel Jones in a minute. Hold it.
Listen. Would Carolina want Daniel Jones after having Sam Darnold there?
Yes, they look alike.
You're really sure about that? Came from the same stadium, not the same team, but the same stadium. You're sure Carolina won one Daniel Jones? I don't think so.
He is not the guarantee, but he's a better option for a team like Carolina and the Saints and the Colts. He can win.
Listen.
They just proved it. They won 9 ball games.
Oh, please.
Barkley, I hate to say this. Talk show hosts. Running backs are a dime a dozen.
Oh.
Whoa.
Ooh. I got
Whoa.
Him there.
Step back. I got to go.
Step back. Oh, no. We ain't going after that.
You talk to Sam.
Not after Sam. You
time
hold
for a break. Second.
Oh, no.
Sam, I tried to have self-control.
We see a whole bunch of people on the Mad Dog channel. Who's had the 3-6 slot for the last decade? Has it moved? Has it moved?
No.
First Take is on.
Nope.
Stephen A. Smith arrived in 2012. Has there been somebody else in this chair since that time? It ain't a dime a dozen, baby. And if there's ever proof of that, it's me and you. You just lied to the American public. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry right now. Think about that. That's what
I don't know what just happened.
He knows.
That was a mic drop. That's what just happened.
He knows what happened.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Mike and the Mad Dog again. That's right. Get ready as we reunite the legendary duo that helped change sports radio forever. Grew up listening to you guys. Mike and the Mad Dog together again. Not sure how we pulled this off. I'm assuming it's Stephen A. Smith, and obviously he's going to be a part of all the fun. This is Wednesday, February 1st, 10 a.m., so tune in and don't miss it. That's next Wednesday.
Well, first of all, the first order of business, let me say this to Mike Francesa. Don't lie to the American people. Don't start off by lying to the American people. He got to prepare. out of here. Please. He knows every damn thing already, okay? Between him and Mad Dog, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they created history, not just chronicled it, okay? I'm the one that has to be prepared. I'm the one being outnumbered. I'm the one that has the tsunami about to come down upon me. And I am the one that has to be prepared to take on what I call the institution. Two guys that really spearheaded and sparked and they pioneered.
He's just building you up to break you down,
that's
dog.
Crazy. He's kissing my rear.
Bill Parson style.
What it is.
Here's the one thing he has done.
What?
Usually me and Mike have our riffs.
Yeah.
Over 20 years, yeah. We're fighting here, fighting there. For once since 1989, we are joined together.
To go against me.
Oh, this is a two-on-one?
Yes. He is Spartacus.
Oh, yeah.
He is Spartacus.
Don't count me out. See, that's where the love disappears.
See,
that's where the love, that's where the love disappears.
Try to debate.
That's where the love disappears. You count me out. Don't underestimate me. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to take on Mike and the Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah. so it's Mike and the Mad Dog versus Stephen A.
Did you ever see the movie Spartacus? Spartacus with Kirk Douglas?
No.
I did.
He led the rebellion against the Roman Empire.
Okay. Yes.
Mike and I are the Roman Empire.
Okay. That's right.
He's Spartacus.
Okay.
What happened at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
Spartacus lost.
Mm-hmm.
Badly.
We shall see.
And this is going to be an...
I'm not running. I'll be here. And guess what?
So
I'm going to be in Port Charles the day before for General Hospital. And I'm making sure that I ride back for this. I'm not running.
That means he's going to be in L.A. when he says
prime.
I'm not
scared. He's going to be a little tired.
Yeah, he's
going to
be.
No.
How are you getting back so quick, by the way?
I'll be back.
All right, let's not.
I'll be back.
You're not walking. Okay. How are you getting back?
I'll be back.
American doesn't have any flights.
I'll be back.
How are you getting back?
I'll be back.
Okay.
I'll be back.
You may continue.
Thank you. I may continue. The Cincinnati Bengals headed back to the AFC Championship game. The defending conference champions showed why they might be the best team in the AFC for the second straight year, defeating the Bills 27-10 in the divisional round to set up another title against the Chiefs. Obviously upset, Stephon Diggs could be seen yelling at quarterback Josh Allen during the game on the sideline. Diggs left immediately after the game. Not only did he not speak to the media, he also left the locker room before most of the coaches got there and had to be convinced by another Bills player to return. So Diggs took to Twitter on Monday regarding the recent criticism he's received, saying, "Want me to be okay with losing? Nah. Want me to be okay with our level of play? It's not up to the standard? Nah. It's easy to criticize my reaction more than the result." Da-da-da-da-da-da. I need the cameras. And here she comes
to save the day. Hello, hello. I hope you're prepared for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, Mad Dog.
Just hello, roll in. Just a roll in. Just float in, just glide in, you know.
Well, I know you wanted to see if the nails were still here. They are. I knew you wanted to see the kicks today. True Blues match.
And the necklace.
You know,
absolutely superb.
That's a happily married man. That's a happily married woman right there. That's what that is. That's what that's about. You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting that on your own. That's a happily married woman.
Somebody bought it.
I'm just saying.
Goodness.
That's what I'm saying. That's
you
right.
Look beautiful.
That's
right. Thank you. Great to see you.
Chi-ai.
Let's get it started.
Chi-ai. Okay.
Dog.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, I didn't even ask the question.
I know where you're going.
Let her just go. You're the worst. You never let me ask the question. Go.
Everybody tells me the same thing. I interrupt too much.
Do you do that to your wife?
I
can't wait to meet Jean.
I'm in the guest room when I do.
That's right. Let me tell you something. Mrs. Mad Dog.
Oh, she can be tough.
Don't play. She don't play. She don't play.
I'm not one of your callers.
Oh, okay. Is that one of her lines?
Yes.
Love it.
I'm not Stephen A.
I called him. She said, "Give me the phone." And by the time the conversation was finished, I said, "Yes, ma'am."
She can be tough. Anyway,
I can take notes from her.
She's tough. Okay. She's tough. She's tough.
Enough of Diggs.
Why are you mad at Diggs?
Oh, come on.
Why?
Stop.
He's upset after a game.
This is every time. This is not the first time. Every single time he's got a problem. Here it is. It's a snowstorm. Allen's having getting beat up. They're having a tough day. Cincinnati walked in there with a big boulder on their shoulders because they think the NFL jobbed them.
Yep.
So they're all revved up. He's having a rough day. And he's yelling at Allen, trying to figure out at 27-10 what's going on. Calm down. Wait, what are you, the only guy in the world who wants to win? And then he's got to leave the locker room with his uniform on, and they convince him, Stephon, this looks bad. Come back
here. So he finally comes back and he leaves without talking to the media, mm-hmm. I might add, after the game. After a loss, mm-hmm. not talking to the media. Listen, we know how great he is, but this idea that winning is all that matters to him, what is he, the only wide receiver or the only NFL player on a losing team that's frustrated that he's lost? You got to act like a professional. I was down on it. I'm down on him.
So as a member of the media who was actually at that game.
Oh, good. Okay. You're perfect.
Great perspective.
And I have no problem with it.
Really?
I don't. As somebody who's covered the Bills, who has talked to Stephon Diggs, I don't have a problem with it. Listening to their GM, Brandon Bean, yesterday, he talked about how he doesn't have a problem with it. In fact, he said, sometimes I wonder, I would probably be worse than Stephon because of how much of a competitor I am. I think a lot of us have moments that aren't on display for everyone to see. We ask these athletes to be all in. We, as franchises, they want these guys, winning is the most important thing. So when, Doggy, when you say, oh, he's the only person who cares about winning, no, but clearly this is a man who we watched stand as confetti is coming down, as the fireworks are going off in Arrowhead, when the Chiefs won in the AFC Championship game. Stephon Diggs stood there and watched. He watched that all that come down, and he was, and in that moment, you felt like, okay, he's soaking this in because he doesn't want to feel this badly again. Now, Stephon Diggs is somebody who is great with the media when he's doing his press conferences. At some point, I think you have to kind of give these guys, like, some leeway. Like, yes, would you want every player to stand there and sit there and take all the questions in losing moments? Sure. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And when it doesn't, I don't think you can negate, like, this one bad afternoon. I don't think it should outweigh everything that Stephon Diggs does as a person for us to act like, you know, he's immature, especially in a league when we have Tom Brady breaking tablets left and right. We got Peyton Manning yelling at Jeff Saturday. We have all these quarterbacks who display behavior that we may not think is appropriate. Mm. We let that go. So why would we not let it go here for Stephon Diggs?
It's no big deal at all. You're completely overreacting.
Oh, my God.
Completely overreacting. That's number one. Number two, applause to you for being at that game. I didn't see you because you were so covered up. I didn't know who it was. You had on a big snorkel or whatever. I didn't know who it was. I couldn't see you. I couldn't see your face. I couldn't see your face. You're that covered up. Stuff like that. You had on everything but a face mask. But here's the deal. But props to you because, damn it, you were there. I'll be damned if I was trying to go to Orchard Park in that weather. I didn't want any part of that. I didn't want any part about being there. Okay, I was watching it from my TV. Said I was good. Now, let me get to this point. Stephon Diggs had 4 receptions for 35 yards. He watched Josh Allen overthrow. He watched Josh underthrow. And he watched him get thoroughly outplayed by Joe Burrow. That's a problem. Because one of the biggest stages, the big boys got to show up. Now, him not wanting that, what would you want him to do? What would you have preferred? That he got in front of the microphones and went the hell off and told you how he really felt? Because if you looked at his tweet, he sat up there and said, we focused on my reaction instead of focusing on what we really should be focusing on, how we lost that damn game. Because he's thinking along the lines of, I had cats that wilted beneath that spotlight and that pressure and didn't show up. Now, inclement weather obviously played a significant role, slippery out there, the weather conditions. But damn it, that's your home turf. That's your park. Okay, Cincinnati had to come on the road to play you. They ran, what was it, for 172 yards rushing? 172 yards rushing. You ran for 63 yards. Couldn't get anything in the air because Josh Allen was not on target. And you've seen Josh Allen perform in the postseason before. And you expected better. You expected more and didn't get it. He had 9 receptions the previous playoff game, 10 receptions the game before that, and then 4 for 35 yards. He's sitting there like, when all else fails, come to me. And that didn't happen. And he wasn't just blaming Josh Allen. He was looking at McDermott, too. And at some point in time, we're going to have to talk about that man because we like McDermott. He's a good coach. But this window of opportunity with Burrow ascending, mm-hmm. with Patrick Mahomes not going anywhere, Buffalo suddenly is not the team we thought they were. And just the thought, and Lord help anybody if Miami gets a healthy quarterback, mm-hmm. meaning Tua or somebody else.
You just brought up an interesting question. I didn't want to go there. I was going to give him a break. But you opened up the door, as you usually do, and I will power right in. 4 catches, 35 yards, and a loss.
Yes.
If Diggs has 12 catches for 180 and they lose the game. Is he reacting like that on the sideline?
I think so.
To Josh Allen? I don't think so. A receiver, 12 catches, 180. You don't do that to your quarterback. This guy has played with a bad elbow. He's having a rough day. They can't stop the run. And he, at 27-10, is going to sit there and scream and yell at him when he's trying to look at the, blue thing.
Doggy, do you have siblings?
No, I don't.
Okay. Because those
two. That explains a lot.
Those two are boys. That's messed up. Those two are brothers. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. The best NFL bromance is literally Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. You are allowed to be mad at your family. You're allowed to be frustrated with your brothers. In that moment, we don't have cameras on every NFL sideline at every single moment because we would probably see a lot of arguments, a lot of near fisticuffs and all that. But we don't always get a window into that. We got a window into Stephon Diggs in this moment, but that one moment shouldn't offset all the other moments of them hugging and all that stuff.
Okay, one question for you, yes or no answer. We got a bump, you heard Sam. To Stephen A's point, would you rather he removed himself from the situation, cooled down, or would you rather he went up to the microphone and said the wrong thing?
I'd rather, well, first off, he's going to be able to cool down because it's 10 minutes before he has to go to the microphone.
10 minutes isn't enough to cool down when you're upset. It takes days.
When you lose and you're making all the money he's making and you're a big star, right, talk to the media after a game.
When we come back.
No, that's fair. That part is fair.
Okay.